While foreign policy is the topic for tonight's presidential debate and the economy seems to be the pivotal issue for most voters, one of the most lasting impacts the winner of this election will be nominating justices to the Supreme Court. The court is sharply divided along ideological lines, with many key decisions coming down in 5-4 votes. The conservative side of the court, especially, has shown a willingness to ignore decades, if not centuries, of precedents and to reach far beyond the issue at hand in some of their rulings. Whoever occupies the White House for the next 4 years is likely to appoint at least one and possibly as many as three justices to the court, having an impact that will last long beyond his term in office. Carolyn Fredrickson, president of the American Constitution Society, says a change in just one vote on the court would cause a fundamental shift on issues like Citizens United.
If one of the conservative justices were to step down, Justice Scalia and Justice Kennedy are both in their mid-late 70s, you know, if they decided to retire and they were replaced with somebody who was more progressive, more understanding that money is not the exact same thing as speech, that case could be reheard. And that could have profound implications for our country's politics and for elections going forward. We also have a number of other cases on the docket this term that could shape our future. Very importantly, there is a challenge to the Voting Rights Act that the court is likely to hear. This law has always been under challenge by conservatives, and it looks like it's much closer to being struck down, even though we all recognize, I think, that there is a huge amount that's done to try and discourage, dissuade, intimidate people of color from voting. And the voting rights law continues to be extremely important in providing some protections for the right to vote. And one other case I just want to mention is the last vestiges of affirmative action that exist in the higher education realm. There's a case out of Texas where there's a challenge to the University of Texas policy, which included a top 10% of all high school approach to bringing in students, and then added a mix of other attributes, including race, that could be considered because of the very important fact that the University of Texas needed to be more representative of the population in order to serve its goals as a public university and make sure that we have a wide array of people from all communities being able to take advantage of the opportunities that higher education can give that are critical to our future as a nation.
Justice Ginsburg is also getting on in years, and many thought that she would have retired by now already. What happens if one of the liberals on the court resigns and we get a more conservative president?
Well, Andrea, that's a great question, and it's obviously one that we should all think about very hard for the future of our country, because Justice Ginsburg, in the analysis of liberalism on the court, doesn't actually end up being one of the most liberal justices by any means. Currently, however, in the current composition of the court, she clearly is. The last major retirement that prompted a real change in the court was Justice O'Connor. Again, she's not somebody we ever thought about as progressive until she was replaced by Justice Alito. And that meant a profound shift in the court that did produce the variety of very, very troubling decisions we've had recently. With Justice Ginsburg potentially stepping down, that would be yet more significant. And a couple of cases that people should think about, again, these are ones that are widely known, but Roe versus Wade hangs by a thread right now. The court has already very determinedly chipped away at many areas in which women's reproductive rights had been protected, and now it's a much smaller area of protection, but nonetheless, there is at least something left under Roe. But with a significant shift to the right, I really think the court is going to take that up again, and we're going to see a very, very dangerous outcome.
The fate of the court does not lie solely with the president. There's also the Senate. Considering the partisanship that is present on Capitol Hill in general, are we likely to get a fair and just hearing for any justice?
Well, I can't answer that question entirely. It's hard to know what the composition of the Senate will look like. Justice Kagan actually did, I think, an exemplary job in her hearing of not throwing in the towel on a progressive interpretation of the Constitution and understanding that the core values of equal protection and due process actually were very forward-looking in the Constitution and helped move our country to a greater alignment between those values and what our laws actually were, especially after amendments were added. So it's possible. But you're right that the Senate itself, if it changes and it swings more to the right, it'll be a much more difficult discussion. There'll be much more hostility. We have already had an unprecedented situation in this particular Senate where you have a vacancy rate that now at the end of Obama's first term is greater than when he started. And that has never happened before because the really profound understanding that the right has is that courts matter because it's a venue in which policies are challenged. It's a venue in which people have the opportunity to protect their rights. And so that's a critical arena for realizing your core values. The Affordable Care Act. Let's look at what's happened with that decision and how close it came to being overturned altogether. The right lost in Congress, and they came very close to winning in the Supreme Court. And in fact, if you look at some parts of the decision, it's extremely damaging. So I think there is a real understanding on the right that the courts are an area that they need to control to ensure that their agenda remains enforced. And I think that the left needs to really get at least as strong an appreciation of the fact that we can fight really hard, we can get good policies passed in Congress, but if we have a court system that is stacked against progressive policies, that believes that the Constitution is a straitjacket on Congress, that thinks that if it wasn't possible in 1789, then we can't do it today, then I think we're all in big trouble.
So I guess the bottom line here is, what should people be thinking about as they go into the voting booth in November in terms of the Supreme Court?
Anyone who cares about progressive policy should understand that judges make a difference. If they want to go to our website, www.acslaw.org, you can find information on a document called Courts Matter. And it lays out the cases that are hanging in the balance. They are 5-4 decisions. Some of them were good, could be reversed if the court gets more conservative. Some of them were bad, could be reversed if the court gets more progressive. So as people are deciding about the future of our country in many ways, they should remember that the courts are a critical part of this and that a great amount of decision-making about what is going to happen, what policies affect us, whether or not we're going to have health care, whether our schools will be integrated, whether or not Congress can actually take action to protect the environment. All of these things are affected deeply, profoundly, and sometimes irreparably by what the Supreme Court does.
Carolyn Fredrickson is president of the American Constitution Society.